I'm Marissa Norcross.
And I'm Dave Freund. So that must make this the next page. Marissa, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I am wonderful. Ooh. Well, I don't know if I'm wonderful. Wow. Somebody else would have to say I'm wonderful. I could say I'm terrific, but wonderful sounds like something someone else should say about you.
You could say you're feeling wonderful.
I'm feeling wonderful. You know, I'm on a streak here without being sick, so mm-hmm. I'm drinking water. We talked about that last week.
I'm knocking on wood for you.
Have my water bottle. I'm taking my Airborne gummies. They still won't sponsor us. That's because we don't have enough likes and comments on iTunes. And also, this was a new one, taking vitamin C tablets when I start to feel a little bit funky in my sinuses.
Yeah, that's a good one.
So my wife and I, we had the chance to go visit her dad in Florida. Mm-hmm. We stayed with some really good friends. Unfortunately, we flew down on Friday, came back on Monday, but it was wonderful. But one of our friends started getting a cold, and he literally had a timer set where every 20 minutes he took another vitamin C tablet. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it was amazing. He went from not being able to pretty much get out of bed by the end of the day when we went back to their house. He was up and seemed to be doing quite well. Mm-hmm. So it must work. Must work. But this is not a pharmaceutical podcast. So last week we talked about just not feeling like it. And today we're going to talk about lids. Like, what's our lid? And I've been doing a lot of thinking lately and really feeling badly for people that don't understand that they have capped their ability to grow and develop because they're not willing to learn. And so what do I mean by that? Marcus Buckingham said at our 2019 Live to Lead, he said, there's no such thing as high or low potential. And right away, everybody goes, he's got a fixed mindset. No, he said, each one of us has the opportunity to grow and develop in our own unique way. Mm-hmm. It's not potential. It's not something we carry around in a little jar that supercharges us at times, but all of us can grow. But the problem is a lot of people don't. And they just seem to think that, okay, so my purpose in life was to, you know, get my degree, get my journeyman's papers, whatever it is, and now I'm out in the real world of work and, you know, got married, have some kids, have a house. I'm good. I'm all set now. This is where I'm supposed to be. And I'm saying no. Now, those physically, in terms of your environment, you might be right. That might be where you're supposed to be. But we always have to be growing and developing and changing. And the reason for that is that if we're a leader in an organization, our organization cannot grow beyond our level of expertise. That's law number one in the 21 irrefutable laws. It's the law of the lid. We become the limiting factor in our own lives. And there's so many people, Marissa, that want to blame other people. Mm-hmm. They want to say, well, my boss won't develop me. Or, you know, I just didn't know the right person to get the job that I wanted. You know, it's not what you know, it's who you know. And now John Maxwell has a great phrase. When people say it's not what you know, but who you know, he calls that who luck. He said, you know, there is a little bit of who luck in life. But there's a lot more of I'm continually growing, continually developing, continually working on myself so that I can get better. Mm-hmm. So I started trying to figure out why wouldn't people grow? And so some people simply may not have a growth mindset, and that just proves that they have not listened to the Next Page podcast very long. Because if you're listening to us every week, it's pretty much all about growth mindset. But the other one is people think they're smart already. And they think they know more than other people. And sadly, the only way they're going to get a shift in their mindset is to find a way to get feedback from other people. So if you really want to achieve your highest potential, you have to be willing to stretch. And you have to be willing to get honest feedback from people. We talked a little bit about this before we started the recording, but and I don't know how old the statistic was, but I did read a statistic that actually talked about a large percentage of people that don't read books, any books, after they graduate from college. And I know you've said that, you know, you're always reading books. And my mom is always reading books, and my wife is always reading books. But I can tell you that until I started becoming highly intentional about my growth, I mean, I read books, but it was rare.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would say if I read a book a year, that was a lot. And now I go through one a month.
Right.
Because you have to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't give what you don't have. And if we're not developing, if we're not growing, we've got nothing to give. One of the notes that I made here is, how do you know what you don't know?
Yeah.
That's the
toughest part, I think.
Yeah.
In like asking those difficult questions, doing
right.
a 360 assessment or just asking someone who knows you well for honest feedback. I think that's got to be the hardest part.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, we've talked about, you know, when I did my closest friend assessment and mm-hmm. my wife had to, you know, share with me that I didn't value people enough and I didn't mm-hmm. want to hear it. But mm-hmm. that's what I didn't know that I didn't know that type
yeah.
of thing. The 360 feedback assessments are great. I think the other thing is even if it isn't a full 360, just trying to listen more. You know, you can't learn anything if you're talking. And that sounds so simplistic, but it's really true. But I never thought about it. And I was listening to a podcast last week, and that's what I heard. You know, if you're talking, you can't be listening. So if you're talking, you're not learning. So kind of do some self-reflection. When I'm in conversations with people, how much talking do I do? Versus how much listening do I do? Do I ask questions rather than just give answers? I'll never forget. You're too young to remember this. I'm not even sure you were alive, but that's okay. But during Operation Desert Storm, I remember, and I think it was Alexander Haig said, "Gentlemen, what worries me the most are the things that I don't know I don't know." That should worry all of us.
Mm-hmm.
We should all be worried that there's things that we don't know, because that's what's going to trip us up. So we talked about 360s. How else, Marissa, what comes to your mind when you think about how do we learn what we don't know? And I know that's a real curveball.
Yeah,
that I just threw you.
That's a tough one.
I mean, I'm thinking asking questions,
yeah.
reading books. Maybe it's just exposing ourselves.
That's kind
to
of
thought
what
leaders.
I'm thinking. Like, is as you pick up, you know, you learn of an expert or a thought leader,
yeah.
or you just pick up a book and you're like, oh, I never knew this was a thing.
Right.
Just having an open mindset to what else is out there. I mean, I shared that with you before we recorded that, like, I don't even necessarily always think it's like reading the right books, you know, in air
right.
quotes, or like necessarily reading the hottest leadership book or whatever. It's almost just like picking up anything and
yes.
exercising your brain.
Right.
And while you're doing that, you'll realize things that you didn't know
exactly. You know, we talked about it I don't know if it was, and I think it was before we started recording even our last podcast, we talked about the law of attraction
mm-hmm.
type of thing. So if we are mindful of the fact that we do not know as much as we would like to know, and we expose ourselves to different writings, different, you know, podcasts, different opportunities, we will naturally learn and have things revealed in our consciousness, because that's just the way our brains work. I did want to touch on something. So, you know, I talked about the people that think they know it all, and some would say, no, they're just very confident. And the note that I put here for us was, what's the difference between confidence and arrogance?
Mm-hmm.
And I'll go first, and then you can give me your thoughts. I think that, you know, arrogance is just when you feel you have arrived and you are the smartest person in the room. versus I think confidence is you know what you know, but you realize that there are things you don't know yet.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes complete sense.
Because, I mean, that was right off the top of my head. So, and it's not the earliest part of the day. Must be the water I'm drinking.
Must be.
It's hydrating me. But so arrogance is when we think we know it all and we don't need to learn anymore. And confidence is when we are fully aware of what we do know and we're sure of what we know, but we're open to the fact that there's still things we don't know. Nobody will follow an arrogant leader.
I always think of like arrogance as like an external projection.
Mm.
Like, here's why you should care about me, or here's why I'm important, or here's why I'm an expert. Whereas like confidence is more an internal thing. Like,
yes,
I am confident. I know what I'm talking about. Like, I can give this presentation, or I can write this white paper, or I can hold this meeting because I'm capable.
Sure.
And it's not about what other people think. It's about you. Whereas like arrogance is kind of the other way around.
Yeah. Yeah. Arrogance is very self-focused. It's what you think you are, regardless of what other people see, almost, mm-hmm. as well. One thing that people need to realize is that you can be extremely technically competent and not have a clue about leadership. This morning, when I was driving to Auburn to have a meeting with one of our member companies, John has a brand new book, and it's called, I think it's called The Leader's Greatest Advantage. I have it upstairs. Why isn't this terrible? I can't remember the name of the book.
That's always my problem.
Oh, well, you know what? I'm gonna find it while I'm talking here, because I can probably do both.
Mm-hmm.
Now I've just deceived myself, haven't I? That's arrogance, not confidence. It's The Leader's Greatest Return. I don't mm-hmm. know what I said before, but Leader's Greatest Return. Anyways, the book was released yesterday, and I had pre-ordered it. And I also, then this morning, I got the audio version so that I could be listening to it when I'm driving. And this is what John said. When he was 25, he's 72 now. When he was 25, he really decided that he wanted to become an expert on leadership. And then he was very highly intentional about it. And then he said, you know, I wonder how long it's going to take me to be an expert on leadership, because there's certain statistics that say if you practice something every day for X number of years, you are an expert at it. But he said at 72, he realizes he will never, ever be an expert on leadership, because
mm-hmm.
it's always changing. That's reality.
Right.
So I might be really, really good technically. I might be very good, totally competent in something technical, but really be failing as a leader. And if I'm failing as a leader, people aren't going to follow.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the problem. And that's why I think this was so, it touched me, because, you know, I saw people thinking they were very, very, very good, and they were just fooling themselves. Technically, yeah, they're great. They just don't have a clue how to inspire, how to develop, how to grow other people, how to help other people find their individual uniqueness and really celebrate that and help them develop it. And so not only does the individual remain bound, the leader, manager that thinks he's a leader, but so does the organization. I live this at SelfLock when the company, things were going very, very, very well. Everybody was telling me I was doing great. We were making money. You would have thought we had a printing press in the back room printing dollar bills or $100 bills even. And I stopped growing. And then when the complexity of the business shifted and it didn't work anymore, I didn't realize quick enough that I was the problem. And I needed to start growing again, because I had lost the ability to lead at that level. And that's mm-hmm. all it was. So this is really quick. I don't think this is going to be a long podcast, but I think it's a topic that people really need to think about. What's your lid, and are you raising your lid? So can you think of a reason why people wouldn't want to raise their lid?
Maybe because, you know, if they just feel like that's not where their priority is.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I think that's what gets in the way of many people is it's just not a priority. That's why we don't, that's kind of the way life works. Like all the things that we don't do, they just aren't priorities. So I think it starts with a priority shift because we, you know, invest our time along with our priorities. So
it's, you know what? This is a that is a great example that I didn't catch. I wasn't thinking along those lines. It's like, you know, when my son Jeremy said when he worked in the ICU and he would ask a patient, you know, you have to go through the things, you know, smoking. He said, smoke, used to.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. How long ago did you quit? Yeah, yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yesterday when you were brought into the emergency room, you know, in cardiac arrest. It only becomes a priority when it's a crisis.
Right.
And that was what it was for me. You mm-hmm. know, when it was, will this business survive? Yes or no. That's a crisis. Now I'm willing to look at it. So I think the priority piece is one. And I think what might drive our unwillingness to prioritize it is very probably the reality that we are successful.
Mm-hmm.
And when we're successful, why change it? You know, that's why a lot of times people have heard me say success can be a killer because you don't think you need to grow. You don't think you need to change. That's good. You know, I think the other thing, the other thought that I came to was it's hard to raise your lid
mm-hmm.
because not only does it take time, but you got to be willing to do some things scared. You got to be willing to step out of your comfort zone and try things. And, you know, it's for some, it might be standing up in front of a team giving a presentation. You know, for others, it might be, you know, going out to visit a customer that they've never done. Whatever it is, you got to be willing to do it scared. And if you're not stretching, you're not growing. Maybe that's the other way to put it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we, I was listening to somebody talk about the need for like checking boxes for our growth and achieving our goals. And somebody quickly said, it's like when you go to the gym to get in shape, it takes you months to really see that there was a change. And somebody said, well, really, if you're doing it right, it doesn't. And I'm like, oh, what did I miss? Because I never saw the change when I went to the gym right away. And he said, muscle fatigue from working out properly is a sign that you are growing.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, what a great analogy. So that when we go through something that's a struggle, that's actually a good sign. Like if it's hard, if it's a challenge, that's a good sign. That means we're trying things that are a stretch for us.
I like to think about it too, as if like, so you don't want to wait for the crisis because that's what makes it really challenging. Because you have so far to go and you already feel like you're behind. You know, I like to think of it as like a jar and you're just putting coins in over time and, you know, a little bit here, you'll, you know, listen to a podcast in your area of interest or like subscribing to a monthly newsletter that is related to your job. And all those things over time, you think just dropping coins in a jar.
Right.
Quick, you know. It all adds up, and before you know it, your jar is full, and it's not a crisis. It was relatively painless and probably enjoyable. A podcast here, a book there, a newsletter, whatever. And then when those situations happen, when you need to act, you're prepared. You've been preparing for this all along, and so it's not so scary anymore.
I love that because what you've done is you made growth part of a daily habit.
It's like a maintenance plan instead of a complete overhaul.
Sure. Pay me now or pay me later.
Mm-hmm.
In the teaching that I do on making today matter from John's great book, Today Matters, it's you're either preparing or repairing.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're going to prepare, it's a lot less expensive than repair.
Yeah.
So my hope is that this podcast just got us thinking You know, where are we? Are we confident or are we arrogant? Are there things that we need to know and don't? Well, we better figure out who can help us see it. Because if not, you just limited yourself and you've limited the people around you. You've limited your family. You've limited your organization. And what a waste of potential. Anything else you think we should add?
No, I think we covered a lot. It's a good reminder for me too.
Yeah, for all of us. It's just that, you know, when people say to me, so what do you write about? I write about what I'm thinking about.
Yeah.
You know, and it typically it's going to be something that's like a kick in the butt or a 2x4 across the face. You know, wake up, you better be careful with this. And so I'm hopeful that somebody would benefit from it.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea what we're talking about next week. But
that's okay.
I'll get a whack upside the head in the next day or so, and it'll just come out. And then, you know, we'll be able to share it with the folks when we get back together.
Great.
All right. So with that, I'm Dave Freund.
I'm Marissa Norcross.
And this was The Next Page.